would love to call you back just as soon as I can.
The mailbox is full and...
Oh, greetings. I thought I'd get an answer. My mistake. You know, I figured New Year, maybe start things off fresh with, I don't know, mutual effort towards reconciliation. I guess I was mistaken. Well, Happy New Year. It was an interesting weekend. One of the things that happened was Sunday. You know, gathered with fellow believers, both two of us, and we got deep into Scripture. We'll take an 11-mile hike on Eureka Trail. It's, you know, what was interesting is it's the same distance as going up and back to Big Frog, except it's flat. So it's very different, and it's wide. It used to be an actual railroad track, and the railroad tracks were removed. There are a couple places where there are bridges, and you can see because they've been turned into, you know, walking bridges. But you can look, if you look over the edge, you can see it's, you know, the trusses for the railroad. It's fascinating in that respect. It's the second time I've walked it. First time I did it was like 2 years ago with Chris. But so we did hike it. It was a delight. I was encouraged that, you know, initially was, we'll go partway. And we did the whole thing. So I was, that was pleasing. But in the process, obviously, we had significant dialogue. You know, a lot of mutual encouragement and what it is to be obedient to Christ and apply it to a couple of issues. And so that dialogue, plus we continued on that today. He had a day off for some reason. And I think there's a couple, there's two examples that they're radically different. One is on the world stage, one is very local. And we don't have a solid answer. We did look at a bunch of scripture. We don't have a solid answer. But I listened to a sermon, delivered delivered in Bethlehem by this pastor, Muther Isaac. And so the video of the sermon is on there. You know, normally has a modest audience. This time he's had an audience of well over 100,000. This has been watched. And I have two versions of it. One is the sermon alone. One is the entire service, which is, hour some. And a lot of it isn't in English. And it is interesting because he had some people from foreign lands there also. But so it was interesting. And of course, one of the things that you see constantly, and obviously I used it last month, is the image of, you know, the Christ in the rubble idea. So I give you a still of that. Because, you know, he's basically standing next, he's in the way we're looking at him, he's on the left side, and the Christ in the rubble is on the right side. And you can see that in the longer video. But it's interesting, it is interesting to listen to the sermon. I think it was 17 minutes or whatever, and because one of the things, it has that sentiment of, you know, we're part of the Christian community. Where's the rest of the Christian community? We're dying here. Where's the rest of the Christian community? And it's an interesting question. So add to that. So this is in, you know, this is in a place where literally Jesus was born. I mean, it's not near the area. It's not in the same country or down the street. It's there. I mean, this is the church they built where the assumption is Jesus was born. Anyway, so he made a little bit of a splash this year compared to, and there, I've seen a lot of where there was hardly any crowd this year compared to previous years. There was one, I forget who did it. I think it was Al Jazeera that showed last year and this year. The comparison is kind of like, wow, that's different. But from a different perspective, And this is, he's the deputy representative from Palestine, spoke to the UN Security Council. And again, the guy was good. The guy was really good. He dressed things very well. And it has, again, that sentiment of, well, he was more of, where's the world? We're dying here. Where's the world? And what I found fascinating, it was with from Hindustan Times, you know, something that I'm sure, you know, we check into all the time. You know, it's out of India. They did a video, but what they did is they clipped the sermon, or excuse me, not the sermon, the testimony at the UN Security Council, gave, you know, highlights. And then they did the highlights of the Israeli representative. And so you can see the contrast. And I think it's fascinating because one of the things they showed it in the one that was just him. And, you know, it's fascinating, you know, because the UN simply, they broadcast everything all the time. And this is from Kaborg Alnassian, from Syriana Analysis. He didn't put any intro, any exit. He just gave you that video. He just clipped it out. And when I searched for it, apparently he's the only one who's done that, besides the Hindustan Times. But again, they did a little more editing. But see, one of the things, I see a cultural difference, and this really concerns me because I see it in other areas. I see it, obviously, in the United States. Do I ever see it in me? No, of course not. But I really think that the group that does it, you may say, to the strongest degree, are the Zionists. Again, not the Jews, but the Zionists. And this representative, the Israeli representative, showed it. It's the projection. You accuse me of something, my response is, I'm just going to accuse you of more and more things. I'm not going to rashly engage with you. I'm just going to accuse you. You know, you're making us, oh, no, it's you. It's you people. It's you people. You're bad. And it is common with Zionists, which is unfortunate because it's not as common with Jews. And I think that's an important difference. But okay, so you have the one pastor. I think he's Lutheran, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Anyway, and you have the guy from Palestine at the UN Security Council, and they're addressing this issue. And so one of the things that we discussed is, as a follower of Christ. And we're in the United States, we're not in Israel, or in Bethlehem especially, or in Gaza. You know, again, the important thing to remember is right now we're about 1% of the population of Gaza has been killed by the Israeli forces. But 2.5% of the Christian community in Gaza has been killed by the Israeli forces. Something to keep in mind. And it's an ever-shrinking population, but that's been over years or even decades. But so what should we do, or what should we not do? And, you know, because it is an interesting question. Obviously, we don't go and fight a war for them. So what do we do? Or do we? You know, it is... But see, the issue is, I don't think would fight a war as a country. But is it, you know, essentially the mercenary, you know, because when we look at when especially in the book of Judges, when a call is given out, come, let's go do battle against whoever because they're invading us, and so we do it sort of collectively, but it's not done by a professional military. So is that something to consider? I don't know. I'm not considering it for a number of reasons. You know, I'm about to turn 68. Ooh. Anyway, but We looked at various places in the scripture, and we don't have a good solid answer yet. But there was another comparison. The church up the street, I mean, literally, 1,000 feet up the street, or maybe a little more, quarter mile, whatever, which is about 1,000 feet anyway. They host this they call this a warming thing for homeless people to show up and spend the night out when the weather becomes, gets below freezing at night. And Chris Petrello, the gentleman who owns this building, does it also, and they kind of go back and forth where it is. Well, it was clarified to me, in December they have all sorts of events at the church, and it becomes difficult to do the events plus this warming thing. So Chris Petrello does it here in December, and it moved back to the church as of a few days ago, except for whatever reason, they didn't plan on doing it last night. So the plan was to be here last night instead. And, you know, Chris Petrola came. He and his wife made some food, you know, spaghetti and meatballs, and a bunch of other people came, and there was some contact made, and we ended up moving it to that facility. And so since I was here, I went and helped. I helped move the stuff back up there. It wasn't that much, you know, basically the food. And, I went with Chris Petrello in his vehicle. We went up there, and I helped serve the food and so forth. Had some discussions with people, some people that I've come to know and so forth. But a question came up, which is what I discussed with my friend Chris Prince. There were two gentlemen there. One gentleman was obese. And another one was extremely obese. I mean, wow. And he is in this facility getting effectively free food and a place to stay. And started to think about this. Because it becomes easy to say, oh, somehow they're, I can, you know, look down them, they're lesser of a person and whatnot. Some of these people, it's clear, because I've talked with them, you know, they're there because of drug abuse or things of that nature. Some of them are there because they have mental issues, whether it was because, you know, whatever. You know, the mind doesn't work right. There are people who go through some difficulties and recover. So you have that mix. But there's some, and it appears to be the majority, are simply, they become the leech. So they live this way. However, I've had two different people, and this delights me intensely, two different ladies, one I talked to here and one I talked to there a couple nights ago, said, we do it for all these people because maybe there's one that we can impact, be a blessing to, because they will change. And I took great delight in hearing that attitude from people. Because what I think of, again, as I pointed out before, it's the idea of a fighting chance for some, you know, the modern day slavery video. It's not that you get to everybody. You get to some, you get to one. Yeah, I get to one. I mean, that's, you know, and it's almost a year old now, the modern day slavery. I basically said that directly a year ago. So to see that in a different context, you know, I was talking about whistleblowers, sex slaves, and things of that nature. And they're talking about homeless. And it's the same attitude. And I think both, it's the reflection of obedience to Christ. But the thing I talked about with Chris today is, and we use this obese, the two obese gentlemen as an example, it becomes so easy to become judgmental. Oh, look, they're leeches, they're you know, self-inflicted, this, that. It becomes easy to become very judgmental, to condemn them. And, you know, we thought about that because somebody who gets into, to drugs, alcohol, and whatnot, repents, and you know, we kind of welcome them back into society. Those kind of things. We can see that. Why not in this case? why is it different to look at someone who is, you know, this guy's terribly obese and somehow think there's no hope? Oh, yeah, there is a gentleman that, because I've seen several of these, but there's one gentleman that I only found out about because he does some strong satire. His name is Michael Anthony. And I found out about because he did also a tweak to the Klaus Schwab thing that I gave you a day or two ago. But he talks about how he was overweight and became a carnivore. He's trying to push the idea that you don't have to be this way. And he's using himself as an example. I've seen that in many ways. You know, I've dropped 40 pounds compared to what I was. I guess. I don't know where I'm at now, but I'm, you know, I dropped a lot of weight getting off of sugar and, of course, the walking. But he does some satire. For example, he has one, winter is racist. It's pretty strong. And if you don't get the context, you could be really offended. I'll give you that because it's more than interesting. He has that. He has one called woke racism. The illegal light bulb dealer. The National Diabetes Month, but the reason I also caught on to him, I actually made a comment on it. He also talked about Sound of Freedom, endorsed it, and so forth. And actually, because he's in New York, he went to an event and whatnot, was participating in that. And I think he got suckered. And, you know, that's I detailed it in my comment. He got suckered. You know, I would have otherwise. But, you know, the point is, he does some really hard satire because you could kind of look at him, hear him almost like a black racist. But it's satire. And I think it's really, really good. But again, I'll leave you a link because I have several of them. So, it's funny, but it's so easy to look at somebody and say, because of the characteristics you have, because of my mindset, I'm going to condemn you. You're overweight. Some people change, as this one gentleman has. He wasn't nowhere near as obese, but still, these things happen. You know, it's the joke. I asked the Lord for humbleness and he granted it to me and I'm so proud. You know, I mean, that because I really do think, you know, drunkenness, alcohol, theft, all those kind of things, are much easier to repent of than pride. I know this too well. It's hard, because the other thing, you know, because I've discussed this with several people, including, you know, I know a gentleman who was a heroin addict and has come off of it. I've known people who have used cocaine and other kind of drugs. A lot of people use marijuana and so forth. And it seems culturally you can say, all right, I can move away from a hard drug, heroin, fentanyl, which is. But I think the problem with fentanyl and meth is they actually destroy you. And so it's harder to come off. Whereas I think heroin you can recover from. I think some of these other things, they destroy you. And it's much harder to recover from, my understanding. But so we look at that as really bad. But it's more acceptable to say marijuana. One is, I don't think there is the problem that a lot of people make it out. I don't think it's the gateway drug and things of that nature. But because it's more acceptable, it's harder to break away from it. It's kind of like, in the same way, I would suggest it's easier for someone, it's harder to get off of, it's easier to get off of like cigarettes than it is sugar, because cigarettes is still generally accepted. You know, it's frowned upon, but it's still generally accepted. You know, you're not an evil person. You're just doing something unhealthy. Sugar, everybody does it. Well, not quite. The number of people who get off are usually, they're kind of marginalized because, it was one of the other things we discussed in on the hike, the Eureka Trail hike, is when you engage somebody, you have to be careful that I'm not trying to defeat you, but I am trying to walk with you as we strive towards Christ. Because one of the things that I have now, because I'm coming up to the 3-year point, is, you know, I'll claim socialist security is theft. It's intergenerational theft. You know, it's not a benefit that you've earned because you contributed to. No, it was stolen from you, and if you take it, you're a thief. And the issue is, it was one thing for me to proclaim that when I was 50s, 60s. Well, I didn't really in the 50s. I didn't think about it much. It wasn't something in my mind. But in my 60s, I did. And that's why I did that video when I turned 62. Say, no, I can't do it. Now that I'm about to turn 68, I have 3 years of evidence. I'm practicing what I preach. And it's cost me dearly. I wouldn't be living here if I would simply be taking Social Security. It's cost me dearly. But I'm a follower of Christ. And the issue is, if I make that case to somebody who is on Social Security, even at just simply saying, this is what I do this in obedience to Christ because he says, you shall not steal. Now I've offended them. It's a problem. So how do you do this with grace? So all of this stuff, you know, we start with the Palestinian, especially the Christian Palestinian. You know, again, this gentleman who gave the sermon, a Christian Palestinian. Munther Isaac. That's his home. That's where he grew up. What is our relationship to him? How do we encourage, stand with him? Or do we kind of, you're over there where we're here? It's a question. When it comes to the example of, you know, there's the pastor speaking, there's the Palestinian representative at the UN. So it's a different context. What do we do? And then, of course, apply it to the homeless guy who's overweight. What's our attitude? What do we say or not say? And then, you know, go the one step further of the Social Security thing. What do I say or keep my mouth shut on? I don't know. Don't have a good answer. But it was a good dialogue. It was a good dialogue Sunday on the hike and today on the phone. Because we don't have a good answer, but we're trying to know. Trying to know so we can practice what would be obedience to Christ and also proclaim and encourage others, because we are elders, presbyteros, because of our age. We've been called to mature, to grow closer to perfection or completeness, and in that process to be able to offer wise decisions, counsel, teaching. and so forth. We don't take the title of teacher, but we are called to teach. And we do it with grace. And we cannot be timid. Yeah, there is that passage where Christ says about you know, oh, I forget the way he says it. My words, watered down the least of the commandments. Standing in heaven is watered down. I gotta find any of that. Anyway, that Christ said that in Matthew, I think. Anyway, what do we do? What do we proclaim? What do we not proclaim? And it has to be done in a way to say, I want to, again, the elder, the presbyteros, which is literally where we get the word elder, that's what it means. It's not an office, it's a state of life. And, I'm in the starting shortly my last 2 years of my 70 here. I'm an elder. But there's also a slight difference in spelling of the word elder, and it's typically translated as ambassador. Why? I think because you've grown, you've matured, and so forth. So now you act as the ambassador for Christ. Not because you are an authority, but you're acting towards others as a representative to call them near. Literally, it's the parakaleo, it's the second Corinthians 5, to call them near to Christ, not to me, to Christ. And that's where, the running the race to the common goal of Christ. And we mutually encourage one another. The scripture thing's marvelous, consistent, wonderful message. It's a love letter. It really is. Anyway, so this is the stuff we're struggling with here. And I guess last thing, there was a number of technical issues that were put off for months, in some cases years. And in the last month, I said, okay, I'm going to take care of those. And there was one thing I did it's in reference to the way I log things. Because one of the things I think so very vital is when the software does something, whether it's enduring development or during operation, what happened? And the logging because so many of the times I see other programs logging, they produce logs that are just huge and you got to find things. Well, I use the tree structure in the logs and whatnot. So, you can find things. And it has to be efficient during the log is generated, because I don't want to spend most of the time generating logs than actually doing things. So you have to strike the appropriate balance. And I struggle with this. And some of the techniques I used became overly complicated. And several weeks ago, I said, okay, I think I got it right, finally. And today I spent the day and I went through basically all of the complicated way and simplified the whole thing. So I've done this on several areas over the past, especially the last couple of weeks. And I'm really pleased. So that, I see stability. And and a couple of other areas I'm just really, really pleased with. So I hope to finish that tomorrow and then back towards the communications. And I have emails to write to people. But anyway, I am delighted at the technology progress. Because again, I did some reading from places. I think I mentioned it Friday. Like Human Rights Watch, which is a well-known organization. Another report from the UN and whatnot, which is more recent. And I compared it against the thing that the video I pointed to about the issues in Kuwait that was like 5 years ago. So I did find some more recent stuff. It's really bad. It's a real problem. And so I have grown a list of places to potentially contact, because I really do wonder what happened to the people, because they vanished. That from the 5 years ago. I mean, they just vanished. So I wonder. Maybe. Because again, it's not a light duty game. If you have in your country, the majority of your people in your country, majority of the population in your country are foreigners, and a huge percentage of those people are domestic help, and they never leave the house for the entire time they're, we'll loosely say, employed, purchased. And in so many places in the Middle East, construction crews especially are foreigners. It's part of the culture. It's like the culture within Zionism. There's issues. It's like the culture within the institutional church. There are issues. You point that out, you pay a price. Do I know this? And I really wonder. You know, I was wondering if the domestic help thing would be less of a fearful thing compared to the sex slave issue. Maybe not. On the sex slave issue, I've seen some more stuff. Oh, it's in one of the, again, the idea of adrenochrome. That is so sick, it's ridiculous. This is the sacrificing your children to Molech. It's not loosely, it's exactly. It's sick. And I think a lot of times it's sacrificing somebody else's children to Molech. It is absolutely sick. And apparently... apparently it's done. You know, I look at some of the kids. I left a photo. Was it December or November? Of a kid in Gaza. Maybe it was November. Who simply said, "I want my dad." Yes. November 9th. I just want to see my dad. The kids that are become the source of adrenochrome, probably the majority of them will never see their dad again. Nor adulthood. I have young kids. I want to see my kids. I wonder, do they want to see their dad? Enough. My lady, my wife. I love our kids. I want to protect them. I love my wife. Intensely. It's a new year. I'm not giving up on you. My lady, my wife. I love you. And I ask for you back.